population, because the whole place is going to get blown up. Arabs, Jewish people, Israel. Israel will be gone. It would have never happened. Iran was broke under Donald Trump. Now Iran has $300 billion because they took off all the sanctions that I had. Iran had no money for Hamas or Hezbollah or any of the 28 different spheres of terror. And they are spheres of terror, horrible terror. They had no money. It was a big story, and you know it. You covered it very well, actually. They had no money for terror. They were broke. Now they're a rich nation. And now what they're doing is they're spreading that money around. Look at what's happening with the Houthis and Yemen. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. This would have never happened. I will get that settled and fast, and I'll get the war with Ukraine and Russia ended. If I'm president-elect, I'll get it done before even becoming president.
Vice President Harris, he says you hate Israel.
That's absolutely not true. I have my entire career and life supported Israel and the Israeli people. He knows that. He's trying to, again, divide and distract from the reality, which is it is very well known that Donald Trump is weak and wrong on national security and foreign policy. It is well known that he admires dictators, wants to be a dictator on day one, according to himself. It is well known that he said of Putin that he can do whatever the hell he wants and go into Ukraine. It is well known that he said when Russia went into Ukraine, it was brilliant. It is well known he exchanged love letters with Kim Jong-un. And it is absolutely well known that these dictators and autocrats are rooting for you to be president again because they're so clear. They can manipulate you with flattery and favors. And that is why so many military leaders who you have worked with have told me you are a disgrace. That is why we understand that we have to have a president who is not consistently weak and wrong on national security, including the importance of upholding and respecting in highest regard our military.
Vice President Harris, thank you.
And she's the one that caused it, that's weak on national security by allowing every nation last month for the year, 168 different countries sending people into our country. Their crime rates are way down. Putin endorsed her last week, said, I hope she wins. And I think he meant it because what he's gotten away with is absolutely incredible. It wouldn't have happened with me. The leaders of other countries think that they're weak and incompetent, and they are. They're grossly incompetent. And I just ask one question. Why does Biden go in and kill the Keystone pipeline and approve the single biggest deal that Russia's ever made, Nord Stream 2, the biggest pipeline anywhere in the world going to Germany and all over Europe? Because they're weak and they're ineffective. And Biden, by the way,
President
gets paid
Trump,
a lot of money.
Thank you. We have a lot of issues to get to.
We'll be right back with much more of this historic ABC News presidential debate from the National Constitution Center.
You're listening to civic media coverage of the presidential debate presented by ABC News on your local civic media station and online at civicmedia.us. We'll be right back.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently. Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to special live coverage of the ABC presidential candidates debate on your local Civic Media radio station.
Good evening, Terry Bell, along with Todd Arbaugh, and we are bringing you live coverage of the presidential debate in Philadelphia. We'll return there momentarily. When the debate resumes, they've taken some time off for some commercial considerations, and when the debate concludes in probably about 30 minutes or so, we will bring you commentary and analysis with Todd Arbaugh and myself, also Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer, and community organizer Angela Lang. Now, we take you back to Philadelphia and the presidential debate.
David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
Welcome back to this historic ABC News presidential debate tonight. We're going to continue here, and I want to turn to the war in Ukraine. We're now 2.5 years into this conflict. Mr. President, it has been the position of the Biden administration that we must defend Ukraine from Russia, from Vladimir Putin, to defend their sovereignty, their democracy, that it's in America's best interest to do so, arguing that if Putin wins, he may be emboldened to move even further into other countries. You have said you would solve this war in 24 hours. You said so just before the break tonight. How exactly would you do that? And I want to ask you a very simple question tonight. Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I want the war to stop. I want to save lives that are being uselessly, people being killed by the millions. It's the millions. It's so much worse than the numbers that you're getting, which are fake numbers. Look, we're in for $250 billion or more because they don't ask Europe, which is a much bigger beneficiary to getting this thing done than we are. They're in for $150 billion less because Biden and you don't have the courage to ask Europe like I did with NATO. They paid billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars when I said, either you pay up or we're not going to protect you anymore. So that's maybe one of the reasons they don't like me as much as they like weak people. But you take a look at what's happening. We're in for $250 to $275 billion. They're into $100 to $150. They should be forced to equalize. With that being said, I want to get the war settled. I know Zelensky very well, and I know Putin very well. I have a good relationship, and they respect your president, okay? They respect me. They don't respect Biden. How would you respect him? Why? For what reason? He hasn't even made a phone call in 2 years to Putin, hasn't spoken to anybody. They don't even try and get it. That is a war that's dying to be settled. I will get it settled before I even become president. If I win, when I'm president-elect, and what I'll do is I'll speak to one, I'll speak to the other, I'll get them together. That war would have never happened. And in fact, when I saw Putin after I left, unfortunately left because our country has gone to hell. But after I left, when I saw him building up soldiers, he did it after I left. I said, oh, he must be negotiating. It must be a good, strong point of negotiation. Well, it wasn't, because Biden had no idea how to talk to him. He had no idea how to stop it. And now you have millions of people dead, and it's only getting worse, and it could lead to World War III. Don't kid yourself, David. We're playing with World War III, and we have a president that we don't even know if he's... Where is our president? We don't even know if he's a president.
And just to clarify,
they
here...
They threw him out of a campaign like a dog. We don't even know. Is he our president? But we have a president...
Mr. President...
...that doesn't know he's alive.
Your time is up. Just to clarify in the question, do you believe it's in the U.S. best interest for Ukraine to win this war, yes or no?
I think it's the U.S. best interest to get this war finished and just get it done.
All right.
Negotiate a deal, because we have to stop all of these human lives from being destroyed.
I want to take this to Vice President Harris. I want to get your thoughts on support for Ukraine in this moment, but also as Commander-in-Chief, if elected, how would you deal with Vladimir Putin, and would it be any different from what we're seeing from President Biden?
Well, first of all, it's important to remind the former president, you're not running against Joe Biden, you're running against me. I believe the reason that Donald Trump says that this war would be over within 24 hours is because he would just give it up. And that's not who we are as Americans. Let's understand what happened here. I actually met with Zelensky a few days before Russia invaded, tried through force to change territorial boundaries, to defy one of the most important international rules and norms, which is the importance of sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I met with President Zelensky. I shared with him American intelligence about how he could defend himself. Days later, I went to NATO's eastern flank, to Poland and Romania. And through the work that I and others did, we brought 50 countries together to support Ukraine in its righteous defense. And because of our support, because of the air defense, the ammunition, the artillery, the javelins, the Abrams tanks that we have provided, Ukraine stands as an independent and free country. If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now. And understand what that would mean, because Putin's agenda is not just about Ukraine. Understand why the European allies and our NATO allies are so thankful that you are no longer president, and that we understand the importance of the greatest military alliance the world has ever known, which is NATO, and what we have done to preserve the ability of Zelensky and the Ukrainians to fight for their independence. Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
Vice President Harris, thank you. We've heard from both of you on Ukraine tonight. Afghanistan came up in the last hour. I wanted her to respond to something you said earlier. And now, please, I'll give you a minute here.
Putin would be sitting in Moscow, and he wouldn't have lost 300,000 men and women, but he would have been sitting in Moscow. Quiet, please. He would have been sitting in Moscow much happier than he is right now. But eventually, you know, he's got a thing that other people don't have. He's got nuclear weapons. They don't ever talk about that. He's got nuclear weapons. Nobody ever thinks about that. And eventually, maybe he'll use them, and maybe he hasn't been that threatening. But he does have that, something we don't even like to talk about. Nobody likes to talk about it. But just so you understand, they sent her to negotiate peace before this war started. 3 days later, he went in and he started the war because everything they said was weak and stupid. They said the wrong things. That war should have never started. She was the emissary. They sent her in to negotiate with Zelensky and Putin, and she did. And the war started 3 days later. And that's the kind of talent we have with her. She's worse than Biden. In my opinion, I think he's the worst president in the history of our country. She goes down as the worst vice president in the history of our country. But let me tell you something. She is a horrible negotiator. They sent her in to negotiate. As soon as they left, Putin did the invasion.
President Trump, thank you. You did bring up something. You said she went to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. Vice President Harris, have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Can you clarify tonight?
Yet again, I said it at the beginning of this debate, you're going to hear a bunch of lies coming from this fellow. And that is another one. When I went to meet with President Zelensky, I've now met with him over 5 times. The reality is it has been about standing as America always should, as a leader upholding international rules and norms, as a leader who shows strength, understanding that the alliances we have around the world are dependent on our ability to look out for our friends and not favor our enemies because you adore strongmen instead of caring about democracy. And that is very much what is at stake here. The President of the United States is Commander in Chief. And the American people have a right to rely on a president who understands the significance of America's role and responsibility in terms of ensuring that there is stability and ensuring we stand up for our principles and not sell them for the benefit of personal flattery.
We've talked about Ukraine and Vladimir Putin. I do want to talk about Afghanistan. It came up in the first hour of this debate. I wanted to move on to Afghanistan.
Stoltenberg said Trump did the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He got these countries, the 28 countries at the time, to pay up. He said, I've never seen. He's the head of NATO. He said, I've never seen. For years, we were paying almost all of NATO. We were being ripped off by European nations, both on trade and on NATO. I got them to pay up by saying one of the statements you made before. If you don't pay, we're not going to protect you.
President
Otherwise,
Trump.
We would have never gotten it. He said it was one of the most incredible jobs that he's ever seen done.
Thank you. I want to turn to Afghanistan. It came up in the first hour of the debate, and we witnessed a poignant moment today on Capitol Hill honoring the soldiers who died in the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. I do want to ask the Vice President, do you believe you bear any responsibility in the way that withdrawal played out?
Well, I will tell you, I agreed with President Biden's decision to pull out of Afghanistan. 4 presidents said they would, and Joe Biden did. And as a result, America's taxpayers are not paying the $300 million a day we were paying for that endless war. And as of today, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world, the first time this century. But let's understand how we got to where we are. Donald Trump, when he was president, negotiated one of the weakest deals you can imagine. He calls himself a deal maker. Even his national security advisor said it was a weak, terrible deal. And here's how it went down. He bypassed the Afghan government. He negotiated directly with a terrorist organization called the Taliban. The negotiation involved the Taliban getting 5,000 Taliban terrorists released. And get this. And the president at the time invited the Taliban to Camp David, a place of storied significance for us as Americans, a place where we honor the importance of American diplomacy, where we invite and receive respected world leaders. And this former president, as president, invited them to Camp David because he does not again appreciate the role and responsibility of the President of the United States to be Commander-in-Chief with a level of respect. And this gets back to the point of how he has consistently disparaged and demeaned members of our military, fallen soldiers, and the work that we must do to uphold the strength and the respect of the United States of America around the world.
Vice President Harris, thank you. President Trump, your response to her saying that you began the negotiations with the Taliban.
So if you take a look at that period of time, the Taliban was killing our soldiers, a lot of them, with snipers. And I got involved with the Taliban because the Taliban was doing the killing. That's the fighting force within Afghanistan. They don't bother doing that because, you know, they deal with the wrong people all the time. But I got involved. And Abdul is the head of the Taliban. He is still the head of the Taliban. And I told Abdul, don't do it anymore. You do it anymore, you're going to have problems. And he said, why do you send me a picture of my house? I said, you're going to have to figure that out, Abdul. And for 18 months, we had nobody killed. We did have an agreement negotiated by Mike Pompeo. It was a very good agreement. The reason it was good, it was we were getting out. We would have been out faster than them, but we wouldn't have lost the soldiers. We wouldn't have left many Americans behind, and we wouldn't have left $85 billion worth of brand new, beautiful military equipment behind. And just to finish, they blew it. The agreement said you have to do this, 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 and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. The agreement was terminated by us because they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
I want to move on.
And these people did the worst withdrawal and, in my opinion, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. And by the way, that's why Russia attacked Ukraine, because they saw how incompetent she and her boss are.
President Trump, thank you. I want to move on now to race and politics in this country. Mr. President, you recently said of Vice President Harris, quote, I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. I want to ask a bigger picture question here tonight. Why do you believe it's appropriate to weigh in on the racial identity of your opponent?
I don't, and I don't care. I don't care what she is. I don't care. You make a big deal out of something. I couldn't care less. Whatever she wants to be is okay with me.
But those were your words, so I'm asking.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that. And then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her. That's up to her.
Vice President Harris, your thoughts on this?
I think it's, I mean, honestly, I think it's a tragedy that we have someone who wants to be president who has consistently over the course of his career attempted to use race to divide the American people. You know, I do believe that the vast majority of us know that we have so much more in common than what separates us, and we don't want this kind of approach that is just constantly trying to divide us, and especially by race. And let's remember how Donald Trump started. He was he owned buildings. And he was investigated because he refused to rent property to black families. Let's remember, this is the same individual who took out a full-page ad in the New York Times calling for the execution of 5 young black and Latino boys who were innocent, the Central Park 5, took out a full-page ad calling for their execution. This is the same individual who spread birther lies about the first black president of the United States. And I think the American people want better than that, want better than this, want someone who understands, as I do, I travel our country. We see in each other a friend. We see in each other a neighbor. We don't want a leader who is constantly trying to have Americans point their fingers at each other. I meet with people all the time who tell me, can we please just have discourse about how we're going to invest in the aspirations and the ambitions and the dreams of the American people? Knowing that regardless of people's color or the language their grandmother speaks, we all have the same dreams and aspirations and want a president who invests in those, not in hate and division.
Vice President Harris, thank you. Lindsay?
President Trump, this is now your third time.
This is the most divisive presidency in the history of our country. There's never been anything like it. They're destroying our country, and they come up with things like what she just said. going back many, many years, when a lot of people, including Mayor Bloomberg, agreed with me on the Central Park Five. They admitted, they said, they pled guilty. And I said, well, if they pled guilty, they badly hurt a person, killed a person, ultimately. And if they pled guilty, then they pled, well, not guilty. But this is a person that has to stretch back years, 40, 50 years ago, because there's nothing now. I built one of the greatest economies in the history of the world, and I'm going to build it again. It's going to be bigger, better, and stronger. But they're destroying our economy. They have no idea what a good economy is. Their oil policies, every single policy. And remember this, she is Biden. You know, she's trying to get away from Biden. I don't know the gentleman, she says. She is Biden. The worst inflation we've ever had. A horrible economy because inflation has made it so bad, and she can't get away with that.
Thank you. Your time is up.
I want to respond to that, though. I want to just respond briefly. Clearly, I am not Joe Biden, and I am certainly not Donald Trump. And what I do offer is a new generation of leadership for our country, one who believes in what is possible, one who brings a sense of optimism about what we can do instead of always disparaging the American people. I believe in what we can do to strengthen our small businesses, which is why I have a plan. Let's talk about our plans and let's compare the plans. I have a plan to give startup businesses $50,000 tax deduction to pursue their ambitions, their innovation, their ideas, their hard work. I have a plan, $6,000 for young families for the first year of your child's life to help you in that most critical stage of your child's development. I have a plan that is about allowing people to be able to pursue what has been fleeting in terms of the American dream by offering a help with down payment of $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. That's the kind of conversation, I believe, David, that people really want tonight, as opposed to a conversation that is constantly about belittling and name-calling. Let's turn the page.
Vice President
and move
Harris.
Forward.
Thank you. Let's turn to policy.
President
Let's
Trump,
turn back
we
to
have
policy.
To move on. President Trump.
Let's turn to policy, please.
She has a plan to defund the police. She has a plan to confiscate everybody's gun.
President Trump,
she
we
has
do
a plan
have to move
to not
other
allow
issues.
Fracking in Pennsylvania or anywhere else.
Okay,
thank that's
you,
what
President.
Her plan is until just recently.
I just need Lindsay, to
President
ahead,
no, Trump. No,
the
President
former
Trump.
President has said
no,
something twice that I need to respond
no,
to.
I'm sorry. We're going
to
we're going
to
move on, Vice
one
President
time
Harris.
To what he
President
has
Trump,
said
this
times.
Is now your yes. third time running for president. You have long vowed to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. You have failed to accomplish that. You now say you're going to keep Obamacare, quote, unless we can do something much better.
Correct.
Last month, you said, quote, we're working on it. So tonight, 9 years after you first started running, do you have a plan and can you tell us what it is?
Obamacare was lousy health care, always was. It's not very good today. And what I said, that if we come up with something and we are working on things, we're going to do it and we're going to replace it. But remember this. I inherited Obamacare because Democrats wouldn't change it. They wouldn't vote for it. They were unanimous. They wouldn't vote to change it. If they would have done that, we would have had a much better plan than Obamacare. But the Democrats came up. They wouldn't vote for it. I had a choice to make when I was president. Do I save it and make it as good as it can be? Never going to be great. Or do I let it rot? And I felt I had an obligation, even though politically it would have been good, to just let it rot and let it go away. I decided, and I told my people, the top people, and they're very good people. I have a lot of good people in that administration. We read about the bad ones. We had some real bad ones, too, and so do they. They have really bad ones. The difference is they don't get rid of them. But let me just explain. I had a choice to make. Do I save it and make it as good as it can be, or do I let it rot? And I saved it. I did the right thing. But it's still never going to be great, and it's too expensive for people. And what we will do is we're looking at different plans. If we can come up with a plan that's going to cost our people, our population, less money and be better health care than Obamacare, then I would absolutely do it. But until then, I'd run it as good as it can be run.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something. I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
Vice President Harris, in 2017, you supported Bernie Sanders' proposal to do away with private insurance and create a government-run healthcare system. 2 years later, you proposed a plan that included a private insurance option. What is your plan today?
Well, first of all, I absolutely support, and over the last 4 years as vice president, private healthcare options. But what we need to do is maintain and grow the Affordable Care Act. But I'll get to that, Lindsay. I just need to respond to a previous point that the former president has made. I've made very clear my position on fracking. And then this business about taking everyone's guns away. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff. As it relates to the Affordable Care Act, understand, just look at the history to know where people stand. When Donald Trump was president, 60 times he tried to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. 60 times. I was a senator at the time when I will never forget the early morning hours when it was up for a vote in the United States Senate, and the late, great John McCain, who you have disparaged as being you don't like him, you said, at the time because he got caught. He was an American hero. The late, great John McCain, I will never forget that night, walked onto the Senate floor and said, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't get rid of the Affordable Care Act. You have no plan. And what the Affordable Care Act has done is eliminate the ability of insurance companies to deny people with pre-existing conditions. I don't have to tell the people watching tonight, you remember what that was like? Remember when an insurance company could deny if a child had asthma, if someone was a breast cancer survivor, if a grandparent had diabetes? And thankfully, as I've been vice president and we over the last 4 years have strengthened the Affordable Care Act, we have allowed for the first time Medicare to negotiate drug prices on behalf of you, the American people. Donald Trump said he was going to allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices. He never did. We did. And now we have capped the cost of insulin at $35 a month. Since I've been vice president, we have capped the cost of prescription medication for seniors at $2,000 a year. And when I am president, we will do that for all people, understanding that the value I bring to this is that access to health care should be a right and not just a privilege of those who can afford it. And the plan has to be to strengthen the Affordable Care Act, not get rid of it.
Vice President Harris, thank you.
Of where Donald Trump stands on that.
I want to move to an issue that's important for a lot of...
You made a mistake. At number one, John McCain fought Obamacare for 10 years, but it wasn't only him. It were all of the Democrats that kept it going. And you know what? We can do much better than Obamacare, much less money. But she won't improve private insurance for people, private medical insurance. That's another thing she doesn't want to get. People are paying privately for insurance that have worked hard and made money, and they want to have private. She wants everybody to be on government insurance where you wait 6 months for an operation that you need immediately.
President Trump, thank you. We have another issue that we'd like to get to that's important for a number of Americans, in particular younger voters, and that's climate change. President Trump, with regard to the environment, you say that we have to have clean air and clean water. Vice President Harris, you call climate change an existential threat. The question to you both tonight is, what would you do to fight climate change? And Vice President Harris, we'll start with you. 1 minute for you each.
Well, the former president had said the climate change is a hoax. And what we know is that it is very real. You ask anyone who lives in a state who has experienced these extreme weather occurrences, who now is either being denied home insurance or it's being jacked up. You ask anybody who has been the victim of what that means in terms of losing their home, having nowhere to go. We know that we can actually deal with this issue. The young people of America care deeply about this issue. And I am proud that as vice president over the last 4 years, we have invested $1 trillion in a clean energy economy while we have also increased domestic gas production to historic levels. We have created over 800,000 new manufacturing jobs while I have been vice president. We have invested in clean energy to the point that we are opening up factories around the world. Donald Trump said he was going to create manufacturing jobs. He lost manufacturing jobs. And I'm also proud to have the endorsement of the United Auto Workers and Sean Fain, who also know that part of building a clean energy economy includes investing in American-made products, American automobiles. It includes growing what we can do around American manufacturing and opening up auto plants, not closing them like happened under Donald Trump.
Vice President Harris, thank you.
That didn't happen under Donald Trump. Let me just tell you, they lost 10,000 manufacturing jobs this last month. It's going, they're all leaving. They're building big auto plants in Mexico, in many cases owned by China. They're building these massive plants, and they think they're going to sell their cars into the United States because of these people. What they have given to China is unbelievable. But we're not going to let that. We'll put tariffs on those cars so they can't come into our country, because they will kill the United Auto Workers and any auto worker, whether it's in Detroit or South Carolina or any other place. What they've done to business and manufacturing in this country is horrible. We have nothing because they refuse. You know, Biden doesn't go after people because supposedly China paid him millions of dollars. He's afraid to do it. Between him and his son, they get all this money from Ukraine. They get all this money from all of these different countries. And then you wonder, why is he so loyal to this one, that one, Ukraine, China? Why is he? Why did he get $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife? Why did she pay him $3.5 million? This is a crooked administration, and they're selling our country down the tubes.
President Trump, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with closing statements from both of our candidates. An historic night, this ABC News presidential debate from Philadelphia. Back.
You're listening to Civic Media coverage of the presidential debate presented by ABC News. We'll be right back.
We'll continue.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to special live coverage of the ABC Presidential Candidates Debate on your local Civic Media radio station.
Good evening, I'm Terry Bell, and the presidential debates between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris about to wrap up. Closing statements are coming up momentarily. And after that, stick around. Our panel will join us. We'll analyze and pick apart what we heard over the course of the last 99 minutes or so. It's been a while. We will send you back to Philadelphia just as soon as ABC News resumes its broadcast of the presidential debate. You're listening to coverage on Civic Media.
Tom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram, Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Tom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here again, David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
Welcome back tonight. The time has come for closing statements. And Vice President Harris, we begin with you.
So I think you've heard tonight two very different visions for our country. One that is focused on the future and the other that is focused on the past and an attempt to take us backward. But we're not going back. And I do believe that the American people know we all have so much more in common than what separates us. And we can chart a new way forward. And a vision of that includes having a plan, understanding the aspirations, the dreams, the hopes, the ambition of the American people, which is why I intend to create an opportunity economy, investing in small businesses, in new families, in what we can do around protecting seniors, what we can do that is about giving hardworking folks a break and bringing down the cost of living. I believe in what we can do together that is about sustaining America's standing in the world and ensuring that we have the respect that we so rightly deserve, including respecting our military and ensuring we have the most lethal fighting force in the world. I will be a president that will protect our fundamental rights and freedoms, including the right of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government tell her what to do. I'll tell you, I started my career as a prosecutor. I was a DA, I was an attorney general, a United States senator, and now vice president. I've only had one client, the people. And I'll tell you, as a prosecutor, I never asked a victim or a witness, are you a Republican or a Democrat? The only thing I ever asked them, are you okay? And that's the kind of president we need right now. Someone who cares about you and is not putting themselves first. I intend to be a president for all Americans and focus on what we can do over the next 10 and 20 years to build back up our country by investing right now in you, the American people.
Vice President Harris, thank you. President Trump?
So she just started by saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that, she's going to do all these wonderful things. Why hasn't she done it? She's been there for 3.5 years. They've had 3.5 years to fix the border. They've had 3.5 years to create jobs and all the things we talked about. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do. But you haven't done it and you won't do it because you believe in things that the American people don't believe in. You believe in things like We're not going to frack. We're not going to take fossil fuel. We're not going to do things that are going to make this country strong, whether you like it or not. Germany tried that, and within 1 year, they were back to building normal energy plants. We're not ready for it. We can't sacrifice our country for the sake of bad vision. But I just ask one simple question. Why didn't she do it? We're a failing nation. We're a nation that's in serious decline. We're being laughed at all over the world. All over the world, they're laughed. I know the leaders very well. They're coming to see me. They call me. We're laughed at all over the world. They don't understand what happened to us as a nation. We're not a leader. We don't have any idea what's going on. We have wars going on in the Middle East. We have wars going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to end up in a third world war, and it'll be a war like no other because of nuclear weapons, the power of weaponry. I rebuilt our entire military. She gave a lot of it away to the Taliban. She gave it to Afghanistan. What these people have done to our country, and maybe toughest of all, is allowing millions of people to come into our country. Many of them are criminals, and they're destroying our country. The worst president, the worst vice president in the history of our country.
President Trump, thank you. And that is our ABC News presidential debate from here in Philadelphia at the National Constitution Center. I'm Lindsay Davis.
And I'm David Muir. Thank you for watching here in the U.S. and all over the world and from all of us here at ABC News.
I'm Terry Bell. Todd Alba is with me. We have a lot to say and not a lot of time. If our panel is ready to go, I'd like to welcome Angela Lang, community organizer, civic media, political editor, Dan Schaefer, to the program. And Todd, I'll start with you. Put yourself in the mindset of an open-minded swing voter at this point. And what did you see tonight, and what did you take away?
The quick, serious answer is, there is only one person on that stage who I would leave my child with for childcare. There's only one person I would let my adult parents, if they had dementia, be taken care of, and that would be Kamala Harris. Donald Trump, it was an unprecedented debate, in my opinion. You have a former president of the United States say things to a current sitting vice president, quote, she put out. You had him,
that was especially striking.
You had him talking about the internet rumors about Haitian immigrants eating pets, which is completely unfounded. And when that happened, the Drudge Report headline put out a photo of Donald Trump surrounded by pets and simply said the end. Quickly, Kate Sally, the rapid response director for Lincoln Project, put this out. I'll clean it up for radio. Quote, usually Trump has to pay women to beat his rear end this bad.
Dan Schaefer and Angela Lang, welcome to the broadcast. I'll start with you, Angela. What was your takeaway tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think originally, she started out strong. She really came out swinging, and she said, quote, you're going to hear lies, grievances, and name callings. And she kept coming back to that. I think she set the tone early on about what we were going to see and the fact that she was going to hold him to account and wasn't just going to let him say some of these lies. I think that quickly got under his skin. I think he was very even for him in the very beginning, and then quickly derailed into kind of some of his traditional campaign rants that we typically see that are off message, not answering the question. But what was really interesting is that, you know, at one point he said, well, I have concepts of a plan. And she was providing receipts and said, this is what my plan is. And I think a lot of people were looking for, she's been vice president, but I don't know much about her plans. And I'll just say, watching as a Black woman, I even tweeted that, like, a Black woman in leadership understands the frustration of having to justify your work to a white man that's not qualified. And I think, quite frankly, that came across. And I think you could tell from her facial expressions and demeanor that she was frustrated. But she was also, I think, very careful to not give potential more ammo to the angry Black woman, a type of trope. And there's a phrase in the Black community that you have to be twice as good to be seen as, you know, half as much almost. And the fact that she's coming out with plan after plan and receipts of how she's going to do things, and he's just allowed to say, well, I have concepts of a plan, I think was really notable. And I'll just say, I came from this event that was around women in leadership. And it was hard to watch, honestly, like as a Black woman in leadership, how much restraint she had to have, how she, you know, tried to, you know, express her discomfort with some of the things. But at the same time, he's just allowed to sing the same old song and not necessarily get really challenged, I believe, the way that he should. But I personally would have liked to seen a question around like mass incarceration, because that's a big question in the Black community, is how does she reconcile her past with what she's going to do in the future? And the fact that just this week, we're on the heels of the 30-year anniversary of the 94 crime bill, of which Block does a lot of our work in the most incarcerated zip code. So I do think that a lot of folks were interested in some of that. But generally, talking to our folks, we had a watch party, and people are texting me, and our ambassadors are saying that they think that she did a really good job and she handled herself pretty well.
She did seem to handle herself well, a lot of composure, but she also seemed to get under Donald Trump's skin. She was pressing his buttons, and as many people were observing, you know, he took the bait.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's clear. I think a lot of us were expecting that he was going to very easily start to take that tone. It doesn't take much, I don't think, for Donald Trump to start to feel agitated or for anyone to get under his skin. You start talking about crowd sizes and, you know, he goes off the rails and talks about all these ridiculous things. So it felt like, you know, she kind of baited him. But at the same time, if he was a skilled enough candidate, he should have been able to see that and also not take the bait. But this is, again, kind of the same old song and dance. It didn't feel like a debate after a while. It just felt like an extension of his own campaign rallies that we've seen. And I even wondered, like, towards the end, you see, you know, Kamala start to take notes. When she wants to respond to something, she's immediately taking notes. I'm not sure I caught Donald Trump at all taking any notes. He kind of just showed up and was like, I'm here, I'm going off vibes. And again, as a Black woman in leadership, just how offensive, how much he was been away, allowed to get away with.
Dan Schaefer, I was struck by how effective the real-time fact-checking David Muir and Lindsay Davis were on the spot with challenging a lot of the claims that were made tonight, a lot of the false claims.
Yeah, I thought that was a really important part of tonight's debate as well. I think the ABC moderators did a terrific job. And I think, you know, we saw some of the reaction on Twitter and elsewhere from Republicans complaining about the moderators. And I think, you know, if you're complaining about the refs, you're losing. And I say that as somebody who complains about the refs when the Milwaukee Bucks are losing. But I think they did a really good job, especially questions on abortion, questions on the validity of the 2020 election results. It was really important for those moderators to take that moment to fact check Donald Trump in real time. And, you know, there were a number of times where I keyed in on one moment, especially when it comes to, you know, the January 6th stuff, the post 2020 election reaction, where David Muir gave Donald Trump an off ramp, really, to talk about how the comments that he had recently made, saying that he lost by a whisper or whatever it was. And Trump goes right back and says, nope, I'm still going to keep lying about the 2020 election results. And he doubled down and went back, which is just so unacceptable on so many levels, to silence the voice of 81 million people who voted for Joe Biden in the 2020 election. But to go back to a couple of the points that Angela was making, I think it was really clear that Kamala Harris did win this debate. It's just a matter of the extent to which. And I think, you know, she baited Donald Trump a number of times. He walked right into the trap. And I think the inverse happened as well, where I think Donald Trump tried to bait Harris into, you know, going in a certain direction in the debate. And I think she stayed above the fray on a lot of different occasions. And I think that really played to her advantage. And I think largely as well, you had moments of the debate where Trump was really playing to his base, talking about making every answer one on illegal immigration, you know, going with this ridiculous conspiracy theory about Haitian migrants in Ohio, and going on and on about this. And he was just completely unable to deliver a message that would cross over. And I think Harris made it a point to invite people who may not have been Joe Biden supporters, who may not necessarily be Democrats, to come into the big tent of the Harris campaign.
Todd Albaugh, you've been keeping close track of some of the clips that you feel really captured, the essence of what was done and said tonight.
Before I do, Terry, Trivi Olson, Lincoln Project senior advisor, who I don't believe could get on this for the postgame here, he texted this during the – because he said during the pregame show, he said, I think that, you know, Trump will, despite what he's saying, will actually prepare. About a half an hour in, Trivi says, I'm now thinking perhaps Trump did not do any debate prep. So, I mean, that's someone who sat in the room with McCain and other people in different primaries. But, yeah, I think for me, everybody – for me at least, I thought the most – moment of the night that's going to be talked about, that's going to go viral, is when Vice President Harris invited people to Donald Trump rallies, baited him, and took it. I believe our producer Aaron Zomers has this. Here's when Vice President Harris invited people to go to Trump rallies.
Tell you something. He's going to talk about immigration a lot tonight, even when it's not the subject that is being raised. And I'm going to actually do something really unusual, and I'm going to invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies, because it's a really interesting thing to watch. You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you. You will not hear him talk about your needs, your dreams, and your desires. And I'll tell you, I believe you deserve a president who actually puts you first. And I pledge to you that I will.
Vice President,
you want to take a little bit of the reaction? She set the bait. Here's Donald Trump taking it.
She can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back.
So, Angela, Dan, each one of you, at least 30 seconds to 45 seconds on this. I for me, that was the moment of the night. Angela?
Yeah, I mean, social media kind of exploded after that. People are like, oh, look, you know, people saw immediately how he took the bait. And honestly, I think that, and I can't remember what came first or not, but understanding that some of the microaggressions, including him saying, wait a minute, I'm speaking, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Or be quiet, like some of those things. You can't, as a Black woman, always respond the way that you want to or the way in your head you would like to. And so what does it do? Instead, you start to actually peel away some of the things that he is the most proud of, that you know that he is going to be upset about. And it's so easy for him to get so sidetracked off of the rails, even when talking about something as big as crowd sizes. And I think that goes to show the temperament and how dangerous a second Trump administration will be, that he can't even be focused.
Dan?
Yeah, for one, I will say I was on the floor of the RNC for Trump's speech, convention speech in Milwaukee. And by the end of that rambling 90-minute marathon of a speech, there were people leaving their seats in the convention. So it happens. It happened there. It happens at Trump rallies. And she was right to point that out. But I think, you know, Angela alluded to this a little bit as well. You know, Harris did stay above the fray in a lot of these back and forths. And instead of, you know, getting into it and going back and forth with Trump on a lot of these things, she pivoted instead to talking about this new generation of leadership for our country and wanting to turn the page on this Trump era. And I think that is a really, really important point to make here, because I think that is a huge message in this campaign for Harris. You know, the we're not going back has become the refrain of this. That started at a rally in West Allis, Wisconsin. And I think it is central to the message that she's going to be delivering to voters in these final 50 plus days before November 5th.
We have just a minute to go. I'll ask each of you, what do you think the takeaway, the headline will be tomorrow? Start with Angela.
Yeah, I think the headline is just going to be a stark contrast in demeanor. Folks that actually have a plan versus someone that has concepts of plans. Again, people are really interested in seeing, okay, great, she's been vice president, but what is she going to do as president? She showed exactly what she's going to do, and Donald Trump is still the same old song and dance that people are used to.
Dan Schaefer.
again, I think it gets back to that new way forward. And I think the contrast between the candidates can be more clear. And I think it is ultimately, it's going to be really clear that Kamala Harris won this debate. One point that we didn't really get into was her question, her response on abortion, which I think was one of the strongest points of the night. And perhaps something that is going, what Donald Trump's response on that is going to be running in attack ads for the next few weeks here. Absolutely. So I think it is just going to be Harris won. How much is it going to matter?
Todd Alba.
Headline, VP Harris pitches a no-hitter. It's over.
All right, well, there we have it. We want to thank everyone for joining our broadcast tonight. We want to, for Todd Albaugh, I want to thank Aaron Zommers, Brian Kelly, and Corey Hartman for their help behind the scenes. We'll have more coverage on our talk shows on Civic Media tomorrow. For all of us at Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Thank you and good night.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.